Well, I was thinking during the announcements tonight, just like we have a division in our mind of things that happened before 9/11 and after 9/11, just by way of security measures or travel, we're going to have to start talking about before COVID and after COVID. Because there used to be a time when I was doing the bulletin or writing up announcements and somebody was having tests, that I would write something like, be sure to pray that their test results will be positive. We don't want that anymore, do we? We don't want positive results. So we've got a number to be mindful of and continue to be prayerful of during this time. And I know that you're praying for them and will continue to do so. Why we do what we do. It's important to know why. We should never reach the point of our spiritual walk where we just say that's the way we've done it. It's the way we've done it in the past. It's the way I was raised. And so that's the way I'm going to do it now. That should not satisfy us as truth seekers. And it's good to ask why. I can remember a time when our kids were young and I was talking to Greg Byers about how many times they ask why. Why this, Daddy, and why that? And Greg said to me, it's not so much answering why. He said it's when you get five or six whys deep that it starts to get a little difficult. But we should not be ashamed to ask why. We should want to know. Did you know that the disciples of Jesus asked him in Matthew chapter 13, why? Why are you teaching in parables? They didn't understand that. And they wanted to know why. He was going to commission them to go teach, and so they wanted to know why. We should train our children to ask why. That's a step of having your own faith. I'm not just going to accept what someone else says about it. I want to know why. And I want to know the passages that explain why. So that's the purpose of our series over the next several Sunday nights. Why we do what we do. And I want you to understand what I mean about the word we. Why we? Who is the we? Well, the only one I have the authority to speak for and about is our work at Southside. God has given local autonomy to the churches. And so in submission to our elders here and by the authority of the Word of God, I can talk about why we do what we do. I'm not certain about other churches. I know them, and I'm pretty confident that they have the same approach that I'm going to present tonight, but I can't speak for them. God's not given me that authority. I want you to know this is why we do this here. This is why our elders are leading us in this direction. This is why we've come to the decision of why we will worship this way, and this is the work we will be a part of at the Southside congregation. So this is not meant to be something of the whole brotherhood, why we do. It's going to be about our work here. And I've chosen for the first two, tonight and next week, Lord willing, the thing that we get the most questions about by those who come to visit our assemblies. Things that might distinguish us from another church that they would attend in our area or some other area. Why do you worship without instruments? And secondly, why do you partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Why we do what we do. several years ago, Brother Bowman and Russ and I were playing golf. And the course was a little backed up, so we were sitting in the cart at the tee box waiting for the group ahead of us. And Brother Bowman was working on an article that he was writing, and so he asked Russ about it. He said, "Russ, if you were writing this article," he said, "would you say that music is indigenous to man, or would you say that music is indigenous to the nature of man?" Russ had his tea in his mouth, and he said, "Well, Dad, if I were writing that article, I probably wouldn't use the word indigenous." I was telling that to Larry McCann not long ago, and he said, "Actually, music is indigenous to God. That's why God gives us music, because music is something that He is about. It's tied to His nature. Why are we creatures who love music? Because God put that into us. I mean, we have fight songs, and we have our song, and we have theme songs. These testify to the fact that we are motivated by music. And I understand that some have a greater appreciation for it than others. Some will talk about all of the arrangements and the movements and the scales of the William Tell Overture. And somebody else will say, I sure love that Lone Ranger theme song." Same music. And God has given us music in our worship. It's part of our offering to Him. And so, when someone comes to our assembly, it's quite obvious on the stage behind me there are no instruments set up. We don't have a piano or organ on the side to accompany our singing. And somebody's going to ask, why is that? We need to be ready to give an answer. I want to talk about why tonight with three W words. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's two sermons today where you used alliteration. Folks, that's 7 days of quarantine. That's what that does to you. You got time to think about things like that. Here are the three W words tonight for why. The first one is worship. The second one is will. And the third is words. Worship, will, and words. Why is it that we sing without instrumental music? The first reason is because this is something that is a part of worship. And worship, as the word means itself, is an offering. It's something that we're giving to God. Worship is not about us. It's about something that we're giving to Him. The passage that you know that we'll look at tonight in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to notice the words that Paul uses as he talks about worship for the local church. Ephesians chapter 5. To set the context, I want to start reading at verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now remember that the city of Ephesus, we learned this in Acts chapter 19, was the center of pagan worship. The temple of Diana was in the city of Ephesus. And so this was a culture that was known for pagan worship. And what pagans did in their worship was they brought in immoral things. And those were part of the things they gave to God. That's why you had things like temple prostitutes. And they also used things like getting drunk in their worship. Paul said, don't be filled with that. Be filled with the Spirit. Spiritual worship. Next verse. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. For this point, I want you to notice that he said that this singing that we're doing is to the Lord. To God. What that says is that when you come to worship, the first thing you need to think about and concentrate on and be certain that you do is give it to God. Yet how many times have we heard, or how many times have we said, I didn't get anything out of that? Well, that wasn't the primary purpose for which you came. To the Lord. We might look at the arrangement of our auditorium, and it looks like something you might see in a movie theater or a concert or some kind of entertainment venue. We're all seated and pointing toward the stage. And in this kind of setup, what we're used to is I'm going to be entertained. I've either paid a ticket for admission, or I've come for the purpose of what I can get. But what we need to remember, regardless of how we're seated, and regardless of where we are when we worship, we are not the audience. God is. We are the givers. We are the participants. This is about worship. Why do you worship with instruments? I like how it sounds. It helps me. It motivates me. Well, this is first and foremost worship. It's our offering to God. Keep your place here, but look at a couple of passages in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Think about that in terms of how the Hebrews would have worshiped before Christ. They brought a lamb as an offering. They poured out a drink for an offering. They burned incense for an offering. And now the writer says, we come to give an offering with reverence and awe, an acceptable sacrifice. Chapter 13 and verse 15 of Hebrews. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Did you think about that as Seth was leading us in song worship? This is a sacrifice of praise. This is the fruit of my lips. Whenever somebody asks you to come over for dinner, what's your first question? What can we bring? Can you imagine if you invited someone to dinner at your house? We want you and your family to join us for dinner tomorrow night. Can you imagine if the first thing they said was, what are you having? We've come into the Lord's house. What did you bring? This is worship. This is to the Lord. Why do we sing without instruments? We're worshiping. It's all about him. Secondly, will. Well, if this is worship of the Lord, what is his will that he's given us? Same passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go back there and look at another phrase. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. God, in his will, at times is general. We sometimes refer to that as general authority. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he did not specify the way in which we are to go. There are several ways you can go and fulfill the passage. But when he says singing, that's specific. I've always been intrigued when somebody finds out where I preach and they say, oh, well, you don't have music. Well, there are, in my judgment, three ways you can think about music. You can sing vocal music. You can play instrumental music. Or you can sing and play together. Which one does the passage specify? Singing. Now somebody comes along and says, well, the Greek word for making melody, which is the next phrase, singing and making melody, that Greek word psallo, psallo, can mean to pluck or to twang an instrument. Well, do you understand that if you interpret that word that way, that word means to pluck or to twang an instrument. You have not only authorized instrumental music, you have made God command it. And so our worship tonight would have been sinful because we did not pluck or twang an instrument. That's the direction you have to go if you're going to accept that definition for that word. Or does he mean you pluck the strings of your heart, sing and making melody with your heart to the Lord? Spiritual worship. Now, you think God doesn't know the difference and is not able to communicate the difference between playing and singing? Keep your place here. Let's look to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Second Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And you may have in your Bible at the heading of verse 20, which is a new paragraph of the chapter, you might have a heading, the New American Standard Bible says, Hezekiah restores temple worship. So here's a king who wants to go back to what the law says about temple worship. Remember, not all the kings of Judah had that same desire, but Hezekiah did. And so he went back to the book. What does the law of Moses say? So here's his attempt at following the law. Verse 25. He then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. So he had the authority of the spokesman of God and from God to station those Levites with the instruments. Then, verse 26, and the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshiped, the singers also sang, and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. You see that in your mind? They're trying to restore the temple worship of the law. They've got the music playing. They've got the singers singing. This is all by the command of the Lord. All right, now look at verse 29. Now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshiped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshiped. Now, did God just not know how to identify and spell instruments in that section there? Or was this a separate instruction? For this, they sang and played. For this activity, they simply sang. I just want you to see, God knows the difference in the kinds of music. He knows how to specify one or the other. So when we come to the New Testament, which of those two did he specify? Which of those two did he identify that he wanted the New Testament church to worship him with? Singing. God knows about instruments, but for the New Testament church, it was singing. That's his will. That's what he has authorized. Isn't that why we do it here? According to the will of the Lord? You see, somebody says, well, this fills my heart with joy when the instrument is added. Well, the heart can be wrong. What did the first verse say in our Ephesians 5 passage that we read? Understand what the will of the Lord is. In that same context, the will of the Lord is singing. God was specific. Third, why do we do what we do? This is an activity that involves words. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And read a parallel passage. And we'll start at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, there it is again, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So again, we see the concept of singing to the Lord. It's vertical. It's worship. It's an offering. It's what we give to God. Again, we see the will of the Lord, that whatever we do in word or deed, we're going to do it all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do His will. We're going to be filled with His Spirit. We're going to let His Word dwell in us. That's the will of the Lord. But this passage also identifies that our singing is horizontal. It's one of those one another passages that we studied last year. And what is it for this one? Teaching and admonishing one another. You see, those very words of the passage require words. The word teaching that he uses there is literally instructing. Well, how am I going to instruct you across the pew and you teach and admonish me across the pew without words? You know what that assures us, song leaders? It is more important what the song says than how it sounds. Now, we should want to make it sound as best as we can. But again, that's for God. And we need not choose songs just because we like the way it sounds or it's my favorite, but we better choose them because of what it says. The words. Because we're instructing and teaching and admonishing one another. How can I do that? How can I instruct you with the sound of an instrument? How can I teach or admonish when I'm the one playing while somebody else is singing? It requires words. Songs are what unify us. We have on days like July 4th and other national holidays, patriotic songs. I know you remember on 9/11. It's hard to even imagine this happening today. But on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, which many believe that fourth plane was headed to, were it not diverted by the passengers, crashed there in Pennsylvania. But on the steps of the Capitol, on the evening of 9/11, the entire Congress stood there and they sang together. And it unified the country. There was solidarity there. We've been attacked. We're not going to attack each other. We're going to be unified against our enemy. Well, that's what our songs do. And it doesn't matter if you can read music or you can't read music. It doesn't matter if you can carry a tune or you're monotone. It unifies us. We become this one body in verse 15 that Paul speaks of. Look in Romans chapter 15. And verse 5. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might have a note in your margin that word voice is literally one mouth. Our singing is one way in which we become one body. And with one mouth, offer our worship to God. That takes words. It's why we do what we do. So that when we do stand before the Lord as individuals, we can say that we tried the best we could to live our life, that whatever we do in word or deed, we're going to be certain we did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to please Him and to offer our thanksgiving for what He's done for us. It's important to know why. Peter said, "Be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope that is in you, to give an account as to why." That goes not just for our worship and our activity as a local church, but that goes to why we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why do you? Maybe tonight You need to make that answer for yourself and ask, why am I not a Christian? Why am I not a disciple of Jesus? We are going to sing a song of encouragement. We're not trying to single anybody out. We just want you to know the Lord's invitation is open. And you can come and confess your faith and be baptized. You can come and seek the encouragement and prayers of God's saints. You can come in whatever need you have in the gospel. And you can do it right now while we stand up and while we sing.